The whole counsel of God. And frankly, I have to be careful that I don't preach too much from the Old Testament, because I like to preach from the Old Testament because I feel like I'm preaching to people something they've never heard. Most people don't know very much about the Old Testament. Here's what we learn. The Bible says in Romans that the Old Testament is given to us specifically for the encouragement of our hearts. Have you read Psalms lately? Have you read Joshua? Have you read Judges? Have you read those Old Testament books that God gave us to fill us and our hearts with encouragement? Did you know that everything from Genesis to Malachi was written for our learning so that we, through the encouragement of the Scriptures, might have hope? So if you don't get your encouragement from God's Word, you might find that the benefit of your encouragement is somewhat temporary. In the New Testament, the theme of encouragement is everywhere, and I can only touch on a few places. When Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, he reminded the young pastors of the critical importance of using God's Word as a tool of encouragement. Now, please note that the word exhortation and consolation, which is translated in the English, is almost always the translation of the word for encouragement. So read 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, encourage with all long suffering and teaching. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul told the Thessalonian believers to be confident about their future with God in heaven. And he told them how future events would transpire and how Christ would come back for his own. But when he got all done with that prophetic teaching, after delivering this great future hope, Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore, encourage one another with these words. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul speaks of the day of the Lord, which will come like a thief in the night. When he finishes talking about this great event, he says, therefore, encourage each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. One of my highest goals is that every day you will come to church, and when you will leave with encouragement in your heart. Not from something cute that I conjured up, but because I point you back to the solid encouragement that is found in the Scriptures. People are encouraged by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so, why should we be involved in encouragement? Encouragement is the urgent need of our day. Encouragement is the unique priority of our God. Encouragement is the underlying purpose of our Bible. And finally, encouragement is the uncommon opportunity to begin something that will never, ever end. Encouragement is like throwing a pebble into the water. While there is always an immediate impact, the ripples continue indefinitely. Paul spoke of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, and I've written a little paraphrase of it. This is what basically he says in this verse. I want you to know how blessed I am by the God of all encouragement, who encourages us so that we in turn can encourage others with the encouragement whereby we ourselves have been encouraged. Did you ever notice that when you encourage somebody, you start a process? Somebody who gets encouraged by you has a desire to go encourage someone else. Do you know that we encourage others from the encouragement that we ourselves receive? When we go through stuff and we get through it by the grace of God and somebody else is going down that same road, what do? We go and say, friend, I want to tell you something. Here's what God did for me in the midst of all of this. And we take the encouragement that God gives us and we pass it on to other people. So when you become an encourager, you get involved in a process that never ends. It just keeps going and going, like that pebble that you throw into the water. The ripples just continue. And can you imagine what would happen if everybody were throwing a pebble into the water? We would start a major, major movement as we became more and more involved as men and women who encourage. There are so many ways to illustrate this. Throughout my years of preaching, I have been enamored by a man, and I've mentioned his name several times over the years, by the name of Joseph Bailey. Joseph Bailey was a bold and creative writer who made a great contribution to his generation by outrageously addressing the subjects of suffering and death. Nobody before Joseph Bailey ever wanted to touch that stuff. In my opinion, his personal qualifications for such an assignment are unmatched by any other author. Let me tell you about Joseph Bailey. Joseph Bailey buried three sons, an 18-day-old infant, a 5-year-old victim of leukemia, and an 18-year-old who died of hemophilia complications after a sledding accident. And Joseph Bailey wrote a couple of books. One of them is called The View from the Hearse. And the other, The Last Thing We Talk About, and Heaven. Actually, those three books grew out of his bitter exposures to death. Shortly before he died, Joseph Bailey's 18-year-old son became engaged to a very godly young woman. After his death and in the midst of her own sorrow, this young woman was deeply concerned about the sorrow of Joseph Bailey and his wife. She gave them a poem which had meant a great deal to her. They were verses which had been written by German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, titled Next Year, 1945. Bonhoeffer had written it for his own fiancée just 3 months before he was taken by the Nazis and executed at the age of 39. He wrote the poem while in jail during World War II, and the poem was delivered to his fiancée after his death, and she was responsible for its publication. Two of the seven stanzas read as follows. Should it be ours to drain the cup of grieving, even to the dregs of pain at thy command, we will not falter, thankfully receiving all that is given by thy loving hand. While all the powers of God aid and attend us, boldly we face the future, be what it may, and even at morn, God will befriend us, and oh, most surely, on each New Year's Day. When Joseph Bailey wrote his book on heaven, he included this poem in his book. 12 years after the death of Joseph's oldest son and 30 years after Bonhoeffer's death, the Baileys received a letter from a young pastor in Massachusetts. This pastor told of visiting a woman in a Boston hospital who was seriously ill. On one of his visits, the pastor gave her a copy of Joseph's book on heaven, and the woman stayed up all night reading it. The next day, she told of the comfort and help it had brought her, and within a few days, she died. This woman had immigrated from Germany shortly after the war. Her name was Maria von Wiedermeyer. At the time when Bonhoeffer was imprisoned and executed, she was Bonhoeffer's fiance. From Bonhoeffer to Maria. From Maria to another grieving fiance. From this fiance to the parent of the one she loved. From one of his books to other hurting people. And through a friend of his, back to Bonhoeffer's Maria as she lay dying in a Boston hospital. Wow. Only God can engineer something like that. But you see, God's just waiting for us to throw the pebble in the water. He'll take care of the ripples. You take care of the pebble. And all of us, if we stop and think about it for a moment, we have some little story like that. Some little thing that happened. Some little issue that was an encouragement to others who then were encouragement to someone else. My friend, when you give away encouragement, you start a ripple effect. You never know what will happen with that kind word, that written note, that warm touch you give to a grieving, hurting person. You could start something that will never, ever end. And that's what I'm hoping will happen in our hearts during these days. That we'll leave and think of somebody we can send a card to, somebody we can go visit, maybe somebody we can call on the phone. Friend, if you say, well, I don't know who to help, well, you just need to open your eyes. It's not hard. Maybe it was hard before. I'll tell you what happened to me when I came back from cancer. What God did for me during that time was he tenderized my heart to hurting people. I used to not be able to see them sometimes, but I can't miss them now. I see them coming. I see it in their face. I want to tell you, we have the greatest hope there is in all the world. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you one final story. Two of the most talented songwriters of our time are Bill and Gloria Gaither. They happen to be personal friends of mine. I grew up in ministry in Indiana, not very far away from them, and they're wonderful folks. What a multitude of marvelous songs have come from their shared talent. They are gifted people. She is the writer of the lyrics, and he's the writer of the music. And back in the late 1960s, while expecting their third child, the Gaithers were enduring a very traumatic time. Bill was recovering his strength from a bout with mononucleosis, and they, along with their church, were being the objects of accusations and belittlement. And Gloria was understandably fearful of bringing children into the crazy, mixed-up world that she saw around her. As Gloria sat alone in a darkened living room, tormented and fearful and thoughtful, the Lord knew her need and suddenly sent to her a calm and peaceful heart. The panic left, and she was replaced by a peace that surpasses all understanding, an assurance that the future left in God's hands would be fine. She wrote a book later called Fully Alive, and in that book she relates what took place shortly after that moment that she had with God. She said, and I quote, "One day in the late fall, we had some men come to pave the parking lot behind our office. They brought in load after load of coarse rocks and pea gravel and sand. And they brought huge, heavy rollers, and they smashed all of it down. And again they rolled it, and finally came the streaming truckloads of molten asphalt to be poured atop the gravel and then rolled again and again until it was smooth and hard and permanent." Very early the next spring, she wrote, Bill's dad came into the office one morning and stood around on first one foot and then on another, grinning as he does when there's something special on his mind. "Come out here," he said to Bill and me, and we followed him out the back door onto the shining new pavement. And right in the middle of it, he stopped and pointed, "Look here, up through the sand, up through the gravel, up through the rocks, up from the darkness and through the thick layer of asphalt had pushed a green shoot. It wasn't tough, it wasn't sharp, it wasn't strong. Any child could have plucked it up with no effort at all, but it was alive. And there it stood, bright green in the sunlight, boasting to the world of its photosynthetic miracle. Life always wins." "And there wasn't much to say," said Gloria. "We just smiled our message of reassurance at each other. But I couldn't help thinking of the song we had just written after our own personal bout with darkness." Here are the words of that song, and many of you know them well. "God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance our child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives." This song speaks of the message we have for those around us and of the importance of us sharing that message with one another. We serve a living Savior, and he is the one who will encourage and strengthen us as we go forward.
Well, this is certainly true, and this is the hope that we have to offer to the world today, the encouragement of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow I'm going to tell you a story about the Lord Jesus Christ and a day in his life where he became a great encourager to people who were very discouraged. It's a well-known story, but in the context of encouragement, it takes on even new meaning. Until tomorrow, this is David Jeremiah. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where Dr. David Jeremiah serves as senior pastor. Please take a moment to share what God is doing in your life through this ministry. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, The Joy of Encouragement, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.